Sure is good to feel His presence. I was sitting over listening to that song, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and He said, you know, that's not your anchor. That's my anchor. Ain't you glad that He's thrown His anchor in you? I am anchored in Him, but I'm glad it ain't depending on my anchor. But I'm glad He's anchored in my soul. Bless His name. If you have your Bibles, let's look in the first chapter of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. While you're turning, I'm going to pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your good graces and thank you for allowing us to be in your presence tonight. Lord, I feel you. And I'm very grateful. I want you to know that. And I ask you tonight, Lord God, that you'd help me, Lord God, to express your word in a way that you'd be pleased. And I pray you'd speak through us and open our ears and open our hearts. And I pray the good Holy Ghost would speak to each and every one of us. And we love you. And we thank you for church. Thank you, Lord God, that we get to go to church. I thank you for the desire that you've placed down in us for church. And I pray, God, Lord, that you'd never let us lose that. And we love you and ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Nehemiah chapter number 1 is my heart's burden tonight for America. And as I look across this land, I believe with all my heart, time's running out. I believe a blind man can see that. And you know, there's some good folks in our country. There's some good people. And this nation was founded like no other nation. And I'm grateful to be in this country, be a citizen of this country. But I believe with all my heart, and I believe everybody would agree with me, this nation's turned its back on God. This nation's pretty much told God they don't want Him. And I know what the book of Psalms says about that. And you know, it's a scary thing and it's a frightful thing. But then again, I'm glad the anchor does hold. I'm glad that no matter what happens or where we end up, whatever happens, I'm glad tonight that God's got a hold of me. And it ain't a devil in hell or all of them multiplied together that can do a thing about that. And you know what? That right there, we ought to run around the building 12 times and shout the victory, because we're a bunch of Gentile dogs. Deserve hell. For some reason, He came to where we was and saved our souls. What a Savior. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu that in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And here's what they said. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. He said, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. I want us to understand where we're at here in the Bible, and I'll give you the best explanation I can. If you look back a couple of books over to the end of 2 Chronicles, you'll see that Babylon got Israel captive there, and they were taken over. Why is that? Because they had a reign of several kings that were wicked and did evil in the sight of God. And Nehemiah is at the end of this captivity, and the people, some of them have escaped, some of them's back in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah is here in the king of Persia's house. He's the king's cupbearer, as a matter of fact. And Nehemiah is got a burden. What a blessing that is, that somebody's got a burden. But the children of Israel have suffered for 70 years in captivity of Babylon, and then into Persia, and then King Cyrus let them go and go back. But you know, it's all because of the sins. And you know what? It's a fearful thing tonight if we really think about it. You know, God will let you have mercy so far. He is a merciful God. His mercy endureth forever. But you know what? God, I believe with all of my heart, I believe God's got a line that you can cross, and He's had a bait, just like you that are parents. You know, you've told your child, don't do that, don't do that. But when they push you so far, you jerk them up and you wear them out. And there's no difference in us and our children and with God. When you and I go so far, or when this nation or this world goes so far, I believe with all of my heart, God is going to jerk us up and He's going to punish us. And you need to think of that we're in a time of punishment today when we've got everything that we need. Honey, I got news for you, and I don't want to bring no bad news, but I got news for you. If America don't turn its heart back to God, if God's children don't, and God's churches, the ones that saved, don't turn their heart back to God. I'm not talking to lost folks. Lost folks are supposed to act like they act. But you know, I'm talking about God's people that are in love with this world and in love with the things of this world. And there's no other way to explain it. People are just flat out in love with this world. As a matter of fact, I long for the rapture, and I hope to goodness that I never lose that longing in my soul. I look for the Lord's return. I hope it's tonight. And if I go to bed tonight, I hope it's while I'm asleep. And if I wake up tomorrow, I hope it's tomorrow. I long for the day that I leave out of here in the rapture and spend eternity in heaven. I long for that day. But I was talking to a fellow the other day. I was talking to him about the rapture, and you know, he said, well, I hope the Lord don't come back before I get my house built. And you know what? That just rubbed me the wrong way. There ain't nothing down here that I want compared to up there. But I want to look at this here, and I want to look at this people in this chapter, and you pray tonight, and you ask the Lord to help us tonight. We need the Lord tonight. And I want to preach, and my title may make you hungry. Amen? I want to preach on scattered, smothered, and covered. Amen? Anybody, can you relate to that? Hallelujah. Scattered, smothered, but I look at this people here as we read these three verses and even this chapter here and part of this book, we see a people that's in great distress. We see a people that's been under the punishment, the chastising hand of God. And He's broken this people and He's crushed this people, and we see where they're at, and it's a sad state. First of all, I notice that this is a scattered people. Verse number one, we see that some of them are in Jerusalem. We see that Nehemiah is in Shushan, the palace, and they scattered all over everywhere. And you know what? A lot of times God will disorient you and get you to a place to where you have to look up, and nothing else around you looks familiar. I promise you, you'll look towards heaven. You know, they had no place. They had no place to call their own. They had no place to say, this is where I belong. And ain't there times in our lives that we found ourselves in a lonely place? And I got news for you. If you get away from God, if you get away from Him and try to flirt with this world and get in this world, you're the most lonely person that there ever was if you're a child of God. You may, and I've done it, and a lot of you have, you may go out in this world, and you may flirt with this world, and even court this world, but you're going to be a miserable person, and you're going to be a lonely person, because God has instilled His Spirit in you, and unless you're in communion with Him, and fellowship with Him, you ain't a happy person. God's people and God's house and God's Word and God's preaching is all that really matters, and that's all that's going to help us and all that's going to make us feel like we're at home. I feel at home tonight while I'm in church. Amen. I feel at home while I'm in this place. I feel comfortable. I feel at peace while I'm in here. Anybody feel that? I have a good feeling tonight when we go in that prayer room, and I have a good feeling in my heart about being around the things of God. But this people, they had no place and they had no plan even. They had no leader. You know, if you ain't got a leader, you get away from God, you ain't got a leader. The good Holy Ghost is our guide. He'll guide you into all truth, John said. He is our guide. But you know what? You grieve Him or quench Him. If you grieve Him, listen to me, He's not there to guide you. You're trying to walk on your own path. You're trying to do your own thing and live your life the way you want to live. And therefore, you have no direction and you have no plan because you ain't got no leader. We have a pastor here at this church. And there's churches around that have pastors in them. And that's the leader. That's the one that God has placed there to lead. That's why, you know, it's great to have deacons. And all the deacons will agree with this. Deacons are great in their jobs. But God has ordained a man of God to lead a people of God. And if God speaks to a church, and I know you've heard this, but I'm going to refresh your memory. Yeah, if God speaks to a local church, He's not going to speak through the song leader. He's not going to speak through a song. He's not going to speak through nobody else but the man of God that speaks at the church. The pastor. You know, we'll just put that in there just to chew on a little while. That's good. God's got a man. I thank God for Brother Ken. Not trying to put him on a pedestal, but I thank God for pastors. I've been there and done that. I thank God, and nobody knows the difficulties of doing that. I thank God for a man of God that'll fight hell just so he can have church. You think, well, there ain't nobody in this church that would buck Brother Ken. I beg to differ. It shocked you to know how many try to usurp authority over that man over there, even in this good church. I promise you, people, the devil is crazy, and he's got crazy people. Listen to me. Not only they were scattered, they had no place, they had no plan, but they also had no power. You know, I was thinking about Brother Vince over there. He said in the prayer room he was thankful that he was able to go before the throne of grace. And he said this, 24/7. And you know what? That is a power that God has given you, Brother Vince. And that's a power that God has given each and every one of us. That is a power that He has entrusted us with, that we can literally step in the throne room of God where the high priest used to go alone by himself once a year. He has empowered us to be able to walk in and not just crawl in, but walk in boldly. But this people had no power. Had no power. And you know what? You get out in this world, and listen to me. I'll tell you how to know if you backslid. I'll tell you how to know if you ain't where you need to be with God, is if you can't get in that altar and get a hold of God. It seems like your prayers don't get nowhere, no higher than the ceiling. I'm telling you what I'm talking. Listen, if you get in there and you can't get a hold of God, there's something in your life that you need to deal with. Listen, not only were they scattered, But I believe they were smothered. They were smothered. Verse number 2. That Hananiah, one of my brethren, came. He and certain men of Judah and asked him concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the what? Of the captivity. And concerning Jerusalem. The captivity. Captive. Pretty much locked up, bound up, tied up. Anybody ever been in a place where you felt like you was tied up and couldn't get loose? Tied up? Boy, and I'm telling you, you better be careful not messing with sin. You'd better be careful how you treat sin because it's very, very dangerous. You'll be bound up before you know it. And it'll take a thrice holy God to get you unbound. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. The preacher can't do it. You can get in such a place to where it takes the sovereign God of glory to get you out of the fix that you're in. If He so chooses. And they were smothered, I believe. They were bound under another king. They were bound under another. Listen to me. There's a lots of kings walking in America today. Now, I'm telling you, I'm, you may not like this, but there's a lot of kings. There's a king in music. And you can be bound under music. I'm not a legalist, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You can be bound under some ball teams. You can be bound to a job. You can be bound up where you cannot get loose. You'll get to the place to where you have not time for church. You have not time for your wife, your husband. You have not time for your children even. Because you're bound to something. Anybody ever been bound? We think binding is something where we go to jail or we do this. But I'm telling you, being bound is, you know, you can be bound to whatever your hobby is. Be careful and notice in your life the devil is sly and he's tricky and he'll get you slowly tricked into being bound up. You get in your hobbies so much, you get into your practices so much of things that this flesh loves, and listen, I'm not against a lot of, I like to do things, I like to go places, but be careful and take an inventory of your life and look at what occupies most of your time and look at your life. If it's interfering with the things of God or interfering with your family, it needs to be nipped in the bud. Am I right about it or? I'm just trying to help you tonight, save you some heartaches that I have had. They were bound under another king. They were beaten. Harsh treatment. You know, these children of Israel here, I've read, if you look at, you want to read something about it, you read Psalms 137 where they sit by the river. And they hung their harps on the willow tree. Y'all remember that. That's when they were being led back from Jerusalem to Babylon into the captivity there. And they required a song of them. They said, hey, and Babylonians said, hey, y'all sing us a song. They said, how in the world can we sing a song in a strange land? And that they some harsh beatings. They say on that journey back, they were many men that were castrated and blood was running down their legs. Even while they would walk, the women were raped right in front of their eyes. Their children were killed on this journey. And if any didn't subdue, they'd kill them. This people was, they were not only beaten and bound, but they were broken. Oh, they were crushed. Let me tell you, you know what? When you get in this predicament here, when sin is a wicked thing. You see, the devil paints us a picture of sin that it's beautiful, and that it's fun, and that it's what everybody's doing. And you can enjoy this. You can have a time at it. And it's just something that you've got to do. But I got news for you. There's another side if you're a child, if you're lost. you better get saved. But you that's a child of God, you have a father, according to Hebrews chapter 12. You've got a father that'll chastise you. And you better be careful, because there is a payment for this stuff. There's a payment. And this children of Israel, this people here, they had paid this price, and they were broken physically. They were broken spiritually, and they were broken mentally. They were physically just no pride. They were beat to a pulp. They were to a place to where God had humbled them down. Is anybody in here, can you relate to that? Can you relate to where God, when you got up to a certain high and mighty place, and you got to a place to where you thought you were invincible, and you had all the money, you had all the fun, you had everything going on for you, and all of a sudden, God knocked the wind out of you? You know, He has to do us that way from time to time. I may be preaching to myself, but you know what? God, every once in a while, He has to take me and knock the wind literally out of me. If He didn't, I'm crazy enough to wander. Prone to wander is what the song says. I'm prone to wander. They were physically broken. They were spiritually broken, mentally broken. They were scattered, smothered, but there's also covered. Here they are in a strange land. They're here in Shushan. They're in the around the palace, some of them. Some of them still in Babylon. And some of them's in Jerusalem. Listen, they're in a place. They're surrounded by an evil society. We have a tough job every day to get up and leave our house and go out into this world and work and go to school or what have you, whatever your day is. It's a tough job to go out and try your best to stay unspotted from this world and stay clean, that you could pray if something was needed to touch God with. It's a job to do that. Because the society that's around us, it's wickedness. You turn the radio on, it's there. You turn the TV on, it's there. You go out to the grocery store, it's there. The convenience store. You go to work, it's there. School, it's there. It's everywhere. It's just filth. It's just nasty. And it's a job to stay out of it. They were covered by this evil society, but I believe their souls and their faith was empty. They were broken. They were broken. You know what? God will get you empty. I ain't talking about just having a bad day, the car wouldn't crank, the tire went flat. I'm talking about God will get you to the place to where you sitting on the bottom of the barrel by yourself. And that, you listen to me, and this may sound strange, but that's one of the best places that you'll ever be in your life. Because you know what that does when you get to the bottom of that barrel and you're literally crushed? You know what's crushed? Your flesh, not your spirit. Your flesh is literally beaten and bruised and broken, and it's in a place to where it has no strength to fight. And that spirit down inside of you will cry, "Abba, Father." And I promise you, when that happens, business is going to pick up. They were surrounded by an evil society. Their souls, their faith was empty. And they had sad expectations, I believe. I've been there. I've been in that barrel. I've been at my lowest point. And you know what? You get to the place to where you think there ain't no hope. A lot of folks muster up enough strength to silence that spirit. They'll say there ain't no hope. I might as well give up. But I got news for you. There is hope. There is hope. I'm going to show you that real briefly. I want to show you there's hope. I'm glad That verse number 3 is the end of the sad story. Verse number 4, the Bible says, it came to pass. Nehemiah said, when I heard these words, here's what he done. Look at what he done. This is what you need to do. This is what I need to do. Nehemiah said, I sat down and wept. When I look across the United States, I don't need to say, them dogs up in Washington, D.C., they lead this country wrong. What we need to do is look in the mirror and sit down and cry out to God and weep to God and say, Lord, it's me. I'm the reason. He said he mourned. That's something we do when we lose a loved one. That is truly wanting to hear from God. You see, the only time you can get to the place of mourning is when you're broken. Broken. And we have one people here in verse 2 and 3. We see this people Israel as they are bringing news to Nehemiah. They're broken by what's taking place with them. But Nehemiah is somebody that's the king's cupbearer. And he's had life pretty lavishly. But he still has a burden for the people. He still has a burden for the things of God. And you may be here tonight and sin may have a hold of you and sin may have gripped you. And listen to me, I'm telling you, when God breaks you, you need to look up. Or you may be here and you may be as close to God as you ever have been. And you need to look up and call on God for the behalf of everybody else. We need this church, Liberty Baptist Church, we need to fall on our face and cry out to God, and pray, and weep, and mourn for the United States of America, and for Bowdoin, Georgia, and for Carroll County. We need to pray and beg God for the revival. It's been mentioned in the prayer room, and even in here tonight. If we ever have revival, it'll be because God's not going to come down here and meet with us just and be an intruder and come in and say, hey, we having revival today. But there's going to be somebody in here that'll cry out to God and beg God. Even so, it's probably happening today. And somebody may have been praying for the last 5 years or 10 years even. But somebody's going to pray and call out to God. And somebody has wept a lot of tears and cried and begged God, Lord, would you do it again? Lord, would you move in this place? What? Don't say how long he prayed. Don't say how long. Could have been one prayer. It could have been weeks. It could have been months. It could have been years. But he prayed. He said certain days. And he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He didn't draw counsel. He didn't call a prayer meeting. He didn't... Listen, if you're waiting on Brother Ken or Brother Mike, if you're waiting on them to call a prayer room to do your praying, you're hurting. It ain't never going to happen. But you know what you need to do? You need to find you a place. And you need to go and you need to call on the God of heaven yourself. That's the way it works. And while you're calling on the God of heaven, there's somebody else on this side calling on the God of heaven. And this middle row, and this, listen, and when all that happens, heaven's bells are ringing from all different ways. And the Father talks to the Son, and He says, hey, them folks want some revival down there. And the Holy Ghost is dispatched. And listen to me, God comes and moves in a place that way. God will help us. And there's a man of God that had a broken spirit and a burden in him. Wouldn't it be a blessing in that, Brother Ken, if some preachers in America would really get a burden again? Some of you... I say this just like a preacher is. Some of you sit in the glory. Some of you I call you prayer warriors. Some of you, I ain't going to say who, but I call three names every night that the Lord's told me to pray for, and I call you prayer warriors. You know, you're held, I believe, to a higher standard. God help us to pray again. We're on our way out. I mean, you know, I know nobody wants to watch Fox News. I know nobody wants to watch all that mess. It's so depressing and garbage and lying. But the fact of the matter is, this thing is coming to a close. And I feel like getting under this pulpit. But I ain't prayed for my loved ones like I should. How ignorant. The ones that I'm closest to, they go into hell one day. And I go about my merry life, not even burdened. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with us? My goodness. We ought to squall again. We ought to cry. I heard Brother Doyle ask several times in there about his brother. Boy, Brother Doyle, it ought to crush your hearts thinking about the reality is going to take place one day, and it's going to be over. It's going to happen. Now's the time. Not tomorrow. Not the next day. But right now is when we need to get our hearts right with God. Notice with me. Nehemiah had a burden, verse number 8 and 9, to reassemble. Hallelujah. Verse number 8, he said, remember, he's praying now. The rest of this chapter, verse 5 through 11 there, is his prayer. He said, remember, he's talking to the Lord, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, and boy, the Lord knew He knows we'll transgress. He said, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But hallelujah for verse 9. But you know what? We're scattered tonight, just to be honest. There's been times in my life to where I'm just scattered. You ever heard the word scatterbrained? You ever heard that? Somebody say, you're scatterbrained. I'll say this. A lot of times we get scattered faith. We forget why we even come to church. We forget why we're singing. We forget what in the world the message is about. We forget why am I here? Scatterbrained. He said, but if ye do what? Turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were one of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet what will he do? Will I gather. Nehemiah had a burden to see the church full again. Nehemiah had a burden for Jerusalem and the temple to be set up and their worship to take place again. He had a burden for that. You know what our burden ought to be tonight? Brother Ken, I believe you agree. Our burden should be tonight that Bowdoin, Georgia, the Holy Ghost would run through it. And you know how we had service out here a time or two, and Brother Ken had to stand on that porch and cars was everywhere. And you know, back in the day, I've heard Brother Monroe Wiggins and some of the old ones talk about it, how in the old churches they'd raise the windows and people back up wagons and just to hear the Word of God because they needed it. You know what our burden should be? Is that God would move in this city so much that they would come just to hear the man of God preach and that He would move in this place. But we ought to have a burden.
Nehemiah had a burden to reassemble, but he also had a burden to repent. Listen to what he said, verse 6. Let thine ear now be attentive. He's praying. And thine eyes open, Lord. He says, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Here it is. Listen. Both I and my father's house have sinned. You know what we've got to do? It gets down home and it gets in our crawl. It gets in our lifestyle. It gets in our daily routine. It gets in our business. But you know what? The Holy Ghost needs to get in our business. He needs to get into our lifestyles. And to be honest with you tonight, there's a lot of garbage I need to take out. There's a lot of things. Well, there's a lot of things. I often wonder if it don't hinder my fellowship with the One. I often wonder if I'm the one that's holding things up. But you know what? Nehemiah had a burden. And this is the first part of his prayer. He had a burden to repent. He said, Lord, I've sinned. He said, Lord, we've all sinned. He said, Lord, we want to make it right. We want to make it right tonight. Nehemiah had a burden to reassemble. He had a burden to repent. Verse number 9, he had a burden to restore some things. We need to restore some things that really matter. There's some things that really matter that's not going to burn up one day. There's some things that really matter in our lives that are not going to be consumed one day that we need to reassure and we need to strengthen tonight. We need to give that the preeminence, and that's the glory of God. That's the presence of God. He had a burden to reassemble, repent, restore, and he had a burden to rebuild. You know what? As we read there in verse number 3, he said, the walls of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. If you read back over there in the last chapter, 2 Chronicles, you'll see, great chapter. I encourage you to read that tonight, especially the latter half. And they went through there and they tore down the temple, stone temple, and they burned it with fire. Any wood, and it was burned up. It was totally destroyed. They stole all the cups and all the plates, everything that was in it. They stole it. And they destroyed the walls. They intentionally went in there and they destroyed this stuff. They didn't have to destroy the wall. They'd already taken the people captive. But they went in there and they wiped out some things. You know what the devil wants to do in your life? He wants to wipe it out. He don't want any kind of memory of you. Because he knows that you're dangerous to his agenda. You know why he fights you? Because you're the one that can make a difference. Your prayers and your effort can make a difference. You go on in the next chapter. I believe Nehemiah comes before the king and he looks tired. He's saddened, and I believe it's because of a burden and fasting. God help us, Liberty. Me, as I preach to me, if it fits only me, I'll take it. But you know what I need to do? I need to get a burden. I just be honest with you tonight. If I truly looked at my life, I'd say I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of myself. I wonder, it would be all right to have Miss Amy come. Will you come play something? I just feel like the Lord would have us have an invitation if somebody wanted to pray. You know what you ought to do? You ought to let this sink in. If God's troubled your heart tonight about some things in your life, boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if we'd deal with it? Let's deal with it. I want you, you know, when I said that about loved ones a while ago, there was somebody's face that flashed in front of you. There was a name that come to your mind, or multiple. You know what you ought to ask? You ought to get in this altar and ask God, Lord, let me see them plunging off into hell. Let me see them. Let me dream about it. If you see them screaming, you'll cry. Oh, God. If you want to pray while she plays,